everybody, and welcome to the Fortress Comic News, episode 126. I am one of your hosts, Chris, alongside my co-host, Mike. It's San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, I mean, we got no time for stories, no time for any type of, I don't know what you call it, salutations. We have a whole slew of stuff to talk about.
But this is how much I care about this thing.
Oh.
One thing. When you were listening to us, you were listening to us the day this launches. Javon's Kickstarter ends Wednesday. Go over to Kickstart. Check out Heat comic book. Get that thing funded. He's almost there. As of this recording, I think he was like almost 75% of the way there. Make that man's dream come true.
Javon Stokes, check it out. Kickstarter. I can't let this week go without telling this comic book story though. Okay. I don't know how it happened to be like this, but I went to grab lunch at this place, this little Greek place near my work, and there's a package store there where it's on the border of New York and Massachusetts. And I mean I'll go in there time to time. The guy like carries craft beers and stuff, and I'll just like look around what he's got. And I was grabbing lunch at the place next door, and I'm leaving, and I see liquor and comics on a sign out front. And I was like, is that a typo? What else could that say besides, is that really say comics?
I'm like, no. Oasis?
Yeah. It's like, it's a mirage. Like, it's 90 degrees out and I haven't drank any water today. What's happening? So I go in and I was talking to the guy, and he just brought in a bunch of his old back issues. He had talked about like wanting to start a comic book shop, but it was awesome. I was like, I don't have a lot of time right now because I'm on lunch for work, but I'll come back. And he had some cool stuff. He's more of a Marvel fan, so he had like the first appearance of Venom and stuff graded that he was selling for like a couple hundred bucks, and a bunch of back issues to flip through. But it was just like, it was so random because I don't know, I've been going to this place for like a few years now, and I walk out and I see comics on a sign. I'm like, wait a second.
Yeah, I've been throwing around the idea of grading some stuff. I don't think I'm going to do it, but like, I have some stuff that is now considered like worth money, mm-hmm. that I have no intention of selling, but right. I want to protect. And I found a better way that still gives me access to the book to protect them.
Shotgun?
What's that?
You bought a shotgun?
Yes.
Now I can protect all my books.
This is upstate New York, not the city.
This isn't the city. I protect myself.
No, my anyway. Local comic shop showed me a certain type of comic bag. I forget the name of it now. Somebody's screaming at their podcast right now. But that actually protects it from weather and sun damage and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to buy a bunch of those and do it. But like, I went online and I was looking at stuff, and you know, I occasionally browse the Spectator market to see for our purposes or just for fun. Mm-hmm. And first appearance of Miles like shot up. I get it, the Spider-Verse movie, but
right,
that shot up. And then like after, well, we'll talk about it later, but after a certain announcement this weekend, mm-hmm. The Mighty Thor issues are shooting up.
Oh yes.
So on that, Mike, let's talk about some San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, San Diego Comic-Con dropped, and I just want to let everyone know, if you listened to the last episode, because I actually went back and listened to it in the drive back today, because we basically predicted what Marvel was going to do. We said they're going to come out with this timeline of movies, and there's going to be stuff on there. We don't know what it is, and then we said some stuff about multiverse. We're getting that. I mean, it's almost like we have a feel for the industry, Chris. I don't know.
It's almost like we've been doing this for like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah,
now.
I think there's a system or a recipe in place that I don't think they really deviate from that. So let's start off with TV. Because I know there was a lot of DC fans like waiting to get some feedback on Doom Patrol, Titans. Doom Patrol and Titans were both renewed for season 2.
Awesome.
Both of them. And they showed like a shot from the Titans, and there was like Aqualad, and he had a little A on his belt buckle.
That's like, fantastic.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And it's like they're doing like a flashback of like, of Dick Grayson with the old Titans. So I don't know if that's going to be part of the season, but it showed like Aqualad And they had a shot at Deathstroke too. So it's happening. It is happening.
Yeah, I haven't gotten a chance to finish Doom Patrol, obviously, but I'm glad that got picked up because that's like a weird enough show.
Mm-hmm.
And then Titans, I really enjoy what I watched of Titans. Once again, just ran out of time. Like, those are both shows I want to come back to. So I'm glad both those shows are coming back. There was also kind of that weird announcement that Warner has their own streaming service now.
Right.
Called HBO Max, I think it was.
And we had questions about that because, like, the DC stuff is staying with the DC app, but also going to the HBO app.
Yeah, so it's going to be on there as well as DC. So I'm like, I'm wondering how much longer the DC universe really has. I mean, I know they said it's sticking around, but if you're going to put them on both, you're kind of testing the waters here.
Yeah.
But I also wonder, for me personally, what's going to be on HBO Max, and do I just need the new stuff, or is having the old stuff worth keeping DC Universe around? So,
well, I think we're going to talk about this really quick, but the reason I think they're doing both for now and not just canceling DC Universe, because there's people like me who paid for the full year up front and you got a discount. And like, a lot of these streaming services don't do that. So they're like, wait, we can't cancel this yet because there's people that have paid for the year and we need to we would need to refund all those people if they pay for a whole year.
Yeah, I feel like you'll know the death note in DC Universe when they say, like, you can no longer pay for a year. That's when it's just like, when does the last year subscription die? Like,
yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, and so many trailers. Coming out of the gates, Seth Rogen was there doing a panel with Preacher for the last season and The Boys, and they already announced The Boys is coming for a season two. Which is crazy.
Which gives me high hopes for season one.
Oh, yeah. What do we got, like a week? Yeah, next week. Oh, I'm so excited. I cannot wait. And there was a little... Seth Rogen's plastered all over Reddit right now, too. There's all this, like, stuff because he kind of, like, bashed the Game of Thrones writers. It's great publicity for him, but he was like, I actually showed up to my panel if you guys... He's like, if you guys want to ask me questions about Game of Thrones, I don't write Game of Thrones, but I write TV. It's just like really funny. You could tell he's just like high, like bantering about it. This looks so good.
Seth Rogen is a national treasure.
Yeah, he really is. And he's doing great stuff with these comic book properties. I was going on the DC Instagram has like all the videos of them, all the TV show people doing the signings. And I was just like, watching like the cast of like Supergirl and the cast of Flash and all of them hanging out, and I'm like, look at this, they're friends outside of the show. This is awesome. We got to look at Supergirl's new costume. Little bit of a rewind back to like Man of Steel, where it's like a really darker blue, more of like body armor, which is pretty cool. So look forward to that new costume on her. We got another Watchmen trailer. Did you check that out?
I did.
Let's talk about that, man. I think it almost is like a completely different turn of like the first trailer, right? I think the first trailer was a little more ominous.
Yeah, and we actually got to look at some of the characters a little bit. They obviously still held some things back, but you can tell this is post-Watchmen movie.
Mm-hmm.
Or post the Watchmen story we know, whether it's the movie, the comic.
Right.
And they talk about how Manhattan is living on Mars. So apparently in this timeline, Manhattan left and just went and hid on Mars for a while. And now is coming back for whatever reason. So I'm interested to see where they go and what's this going to be about.
Mm-hmm.
But... I still am not sure exactly what the story is here, so I'm a little confused. But
yeah, I guess I'm in to check it out. You know, we're both gonna check it out, and
it's titled Watchmen, so I'm obviously gonna check it out.
Right. And then they show Jeremy Irons at the end. I'm like, oh yeah, that's why I was watching this show. Jeremy Irons is Ozymandias.
Yes, which is great casting.
Yeah. So good for him. You know. All right, so we got some Walking Dead. Announcements to third Walking Dead series detailed. It's going to be helmed by the writer of Kong Skull Island, Jordan Vogt Roberts. and it's going to have Aaliyah Royale and Annette Mahendru and a few others. It's going to explore the second generation to live in the zombie apocalypse. So this is probably going to be a little more civilized, I would assume.
Yeah, I'm really curious about this one because this is, I mean, we explored this in the finale of Walking Dead, the comic, but this is something that really hasn't been explored in popular culture. You know, what does happen? These are going to be the people who are born during the apocalypse and have lived in this world and don't know the other world. So I think this is an amazing premise for a third series. I know we kind of poo-pooed a third series when it was originally announced.
We poo-pooed.
But if there was ever another Walking Dead series I'm going to watch, it's this.
Right.
So I'm super excited for it.
Yeah. And with that, we got a trailer for season 10, right? I didn't watch that, but what did you think?
Yeah, so we get a lot of things we expect. So we're going into the Whisper War.
Mm-hmm.
Negan is out, and he's kind of reintegrating with everybody, and we're seeing that turn that he had during the comics. We see a lot of Michonne. There's a few moments in there that are, I mean, obviously everything's taken out of context, but we see Michonne with Ezekiel at one point, and there's some sort of relationship there. We see Daryl and I forget her name now, and there's something there as well. Like, there's definitely a lot going on, and there's an exploration of the idea of, like, Daryl says the line, "I feel like all we're doing is surviving fight to fight, and our only chance is to leave." So I'm still all in on Walking Dead. I really liked the last season. I thought it was pretty good. And this is also supposed to be the last season with Michonne. The actress has said that she's done after this one. So I'm guessing she dies at some point.
Yeah, there's not much else you can do with the character at that point. Okay, well, with that, we got a lot of info about the CW crossover, which was crazy. We have Brandon Routh, who we know, I mean, he was Superman, Superman Returns, right? And now he plays the Atom. And now we're getting him to reprise his role as Superman for the Crisis on Infinite Earths crossover that's coming next fall. But not just any Superman, he's going to be playing Kingdom Come Superman. What?
I thought you'd be excited.
What? Yeah, because like at first they're like, okay, he plays Superman. Well, that's awesome. No, now he's playing Kingdom Come Superman. If anybody doesn't know Kingdom Come Superman, you need to read Kingdom Come, but it's an older Superman. He's got gray in his hair, but he's actually a lot stronger. He's wiser because he's older, but he's a lot stronger than normal Superman just for the fact that he's been sitting on our Earth absorbing sunlight for 50 years. But that's really cool. This is going to be a crazy crossover because they've added another name. Burt Ward is going to be guest starring. And Burt Ward, if anyone remembers, is from the 1960s Batman show. He plays Robin. So now I don't know what they're doing. Maybe he plays an old Robin, like on this Kingdom Come Earth or something.
I will bet you that anybody that played a DC property in a TV show, because, I mean, like Affleck and some of the other... Affleck and some of the other actors that play Batman aren't going to come in to do a TV show crossover.
Right.
But I'm sure if you played a TV show DC property, you were asked to come back. I'm sure they sent a mass text. Tom Welling, come on, come back, do something.
Right, what's he doing? He's like on the couch eating bonbons.
He's got all the money. He doesn't care.
Yeah, that's what I'd be doing.
I'll be interested to see what Burt Ward plays. I would be kind of cool with Burt Ward taking the what they're doing with Dick Grayson in Batman Beyond right now, which is he is mayor of Bloodhaven, and he has a family, and he's kind of said no more of the costume stuff. Like, it only leads to bad things. I'd be cool if he was kind of the representative of that universe, but I will be very interested to see what he is.
I mean, this is my thought. If they're going to go with, like, Kingdom Come universe, why not let Burt Ward... I mean, what a tribute to his long friend Adam West to make Burt Ward Batman of that universe. Like, I mean, we know that Batman is broken of the Kingdom Come universe. Like, he has to wear an exoskeleton. So, like, put him in a wheelchair or something. I don't know. Like, make him old. Like, he's maybe even mayor of the city. I don't know. But, like, give Burt Ward, like, Burt Ward could be Batman of that universe. He's got to, he just has to be old, right?
Yeah. Burt Ward's also doesn't have the body type.
Yeah, but I mean, he's old, right? Unless they make him the Penguin. I mean, we all know that would be a little more fitting. But anyways, there's a bunch of Disney Plus streaming news. Really quick, though, they announced Picard and the trailer and for Star Trek, which is huge for fans because it reprises the role of Data is coming back and a few other one of the actresses from Deep Space Nine, I think, is coming back. One of the Borg. It was a huge reveal, and the fact that, I mean, it's Patrick Stewart's coming back to reprise this role, like, I don't know how many years later, 30 years later. But it's going to the CBS streaming service, so we'll see how that goes. Speaking of streaming news, now we got all the Disney Plus announcements, right? We got Falcon Winter Soldier is official. And Baron Zemo is the villain. Fall 2020.
Super excited. The logo emblazoned with Captain America's shield. They said that Falcon will be, even though they're calling it Falcon and Winter Soldier, it is going to be Captain America Falcon. And I mean, I'm a huge Baron Zemo fan, so it'd be cool if they do something a little bit closer to what the comics are with Baron Zemo. I'm not saying he has to have a purple hood, but, you know, closer to what that villain is, as opposed to a guy who just spouts numbers out. But
give him a purple hood.
I mean, if you send me an image that has that actor with a purple hood on and a sword, Disney, I will buy the streaming service. I'll pay 10 years in advance.
Wow.
It's done. Yeah.
You heard it here first. 10 years. He's up front.
But this is my most excited Disney Plus thing. I love Winter Soldier. And I enjoyed the run of Falcon as Captain America, so I'm interested to see how it translates into a TV show.
And I'm just more interested to see, like, I don't think I've experienced this yet where, like, you had a big movie star, right, get thrown into a television world. But it might be okay because these streaming shows are almost like, I mean, they're like 13-hour long movies. They're not like the CW shows. I think if you threw one of these characters into a CW show or something like that, it would be weird because they're like 26 episode seasons.
Now, it's the way the industry works now, the streaming stuff, and even we can even throw HBO in there and Showtime.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, they film them like movies. So I think they're kind of a half step. So a lot of those bigger actors are willing to sign up for those because they know it's, you know, I got, like a four-week to two-month commitment as opposed to half my year gone just this one show.
Exactly. So that with that, they announced Loki, the series, is official coming spring. So we get the Falcon Winter Soldier fall, we get 2020, then we get Loki spring 2021, and of course Tom Hiddleston's playing Loki.
Yeah.
Thank God. And then they talked a little bit more about the What If animated series is actually official coming fall 2021. And it's going to be actual Marvel Cinematic Universe actors doing the voice acting, which is awesome.
Yes. And so one, I love What If. What If is one of my favorite ideas in comics. And some of the books that have come out of it are really great. Much like Elseworlds. I mean, similar idea.
Right.
But there was somebody online that actually found that if you look in the logo for What If, if you zoom in on it, you can see a zombie Captain America.
Oh.
So now everybody's excited. Is What If going to do Marvel Zombies in the MCU? I don't know, but that was a really cool thing that I saw when I was perusing for news today.
That's pretty cool.
Like I said, I love What If. I'm down for What If.
I don't think I had heard about this at all, but the Hawkeye is getting a series fall 2021, and it's going to be centered around Clint and introduce Kate Bishop. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
That's one of the big Hawkeye runs. I think it was right. Matt Fraction who wrote it. So,
yep.
It's a cool way to introduce a new Hawkeye. I mean, I'm sure Jeremy Renner maybe wants to move on. I don't know, but it's a cool way to kind of sunset him and bring in a brand new Hawkeye for whatever their next idea is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, that's... I think his character probably works best like that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of... It's kind of happening just as Arrow is ending. I don't know if you noticed that, but Arrow ends in 2020, and then this show starts up 2021.
Perfect timing.
Yeah, and then, dude, we got so much movie stuff. It was crazy because, like, everybody had talked about, you know, we're and Kevin Smith was like, yeah, we're going to drop Jay and Silent Bob trailer Saturday at Hall H. And then it was, like, Friday, he was like, boom, here's the trailer. And then it was, like, tons of trailers, like the Top Gun trailer got released. I don't really care about that. I've never seen the first Top Gun. But it's Tom Cruise on a motorcycle flying planes, so that's pretty cool.
I feel the same way. But let's talk about the important one here. Yeah. Let's talk about Cats.
No. I didn't even mention Cats. We're not talking about Cats. So, there's something about the film industry is pushing these, like, humanoid, weird, uncanny valley animal creatures on everybody. I don't know. It's like they're trying to make furries acceptable or something.
So anybody out there, legitimately, if you want the best thing to happen all weekend, somebody actually went into Photoshop and took Nick Hofferman from Parks and Rec and CG'd his face on all the cats.
Oh my God.
It is the best thing I've ever seen.
I'd go see that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that never happened. Let's talk about the King's Man trailer. We know that they're already making a third Kingsman movie. We also know they talked about making a spinoff with the Statesman movie. Now we get this movie. I guess I didn't even know this was going to be a thing. I thought this was the trilogy in itself, but it's not. We're getting a prequel, The King's Man. And dude, first off, this trailer is amazing. It's a really good trailer. I really like the music in it and stuff. And by the end of it, I was like, damn, I was like, I could watch a lot more of this. This was a great trailer. I mean, we get to see like the dawn of the Kingsman, and I think they're showing like Rasputin and some like pretty important events throughout history, maybe assassinations. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool.
I love the Kingsman. I think it's a very modernized way to do a James Bond film.
Mm-hmm, right.
I know that's weird because they're almost like an old school operation, but just the movie itself, the action sequences and how they're built, like it's just the first two are really great. And yeah, I'm down for this one. It looks awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So now let's talk about Jay and Silent Bob reboot trailer.
Let's do it.
This movie, man. So,
Bloodman v. Chronic.
Bloodman and Chronic are back. They're being rebooted within the movie. And Bloodman's being played by Val Kilmer. Like, what? First off, like, there was a little timeline on the internet there where everybody thought Val Kilmer was dead. And he kind of had to, like, tweet out and be like, I'm very much alive, everyone. I'm not And if everybody remembers, Val Kilmer was Batman once, so now he's kind of putting the cowl on to be Bloodman, which is basically Batman. And we have Melissa Benoit from
Supergirl
playing Chronic. It looks awesome. And then we got almost every character coming back from the Jay and Silent Bob movie. We have Cheech Cheech shows up at the end, but we have Matt Damon and Ben Affleck are back.
Yeah. Dude,
that he got Ben Affleck back.
The biggest news was that he's back in like good graces with Ben Affleck and that he's in this movie.
Right.
He needed to be in this movie because his character in Chasing Amy is one of the people that created Bloodman and Chronic. So
right.
He needed to kind of shepherd them just like he did in the first movie. I'm really happy about that. I love that they now own a pot shop called Cock Smokers. I love that he's taking shots at DC.
Right.
With the Bluntman V Chronic in the reboot.
Yeah.
And yeah, just so much about it. I am so excited for this. We're both such huge Kevin Smith fans and specifically Jay and Silent Bob fans. So everything that's going on here, sign me up. I'm almost considering driving to Pennsylvania. Mind you, I live in New York, to go to the one of the premier Q&A screenings. That's how excited I am.
Wow. I'd like to do that as well. So let me know. That's all. It looks like a fun movie. Some people are like, this looks dumb. It's like, don't watch it. You know what I mean? Like, this movie wasn't made for you. This has everything you could ever. And it's probably going to have, I almost guarantee Mark Hamill's coming back to play Cock Knocker.
Or something. Like, he's got to be in it.
He's got to come back.
Yeah, they said there's so many cameos that were already announced. Chris Hemsworth is in the movie. I'm sure at some point Chris Rock will be back. There's just a ton. So yeah, this movie is a must see when I get the chance.
Okay, so AMC Walking Dead Rick Grimes movie will come to theaters. All three movies. The trilogy of Rick Grimes.
Yeah, they showed a quick trailer.
Is it just him being Rick Grimes?
It's not even like... I doubt they've actually shot anything. Cause it's kind of just like a CG thing that says like Walking Dead coming to theaters. Yeah, I'll go see him, but I'm not particularly excited.
Will it make $1 billion? Well, I guess we'll find out.
No. It will not.
Some awesome... so we got a lot of DC animated announcements. Finally, we're getting Red Son Superman.
Excited for
that. As an animated movie. Superman, Man of Tomorrow, and then Justice League Dark, Apocalypse Wars, which we had that first Justice League Dark, which was really good. So that's pretty exciting.
Was the Apocalypse Wars something that happened in the comics in Justice League Dark?
I'm not sure.
I don't remember it that, but I also didn't read Justice League Dark, so
they might like tie in. I don't know, like the magic stuff that happens with the, I don't know, because there's like the three different trees that they did with, like Dark Knight Metal and stuff. Maybe they'll incorporate some of that. Yeah, like I remember one of the trees was based on magic. I don't know. We'll see what happens. The first one wasn't really part of the comics. I mean, it had the same team up, but it mostly focused on like Batman hanging out with them. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. But Red Son, I mean, come on, it's about time. And then like we said was going to happen, Marvel dropped a nuke on all the movie news. The Eternals were officially announced. I personally know nothing about the Eternals, but the cast is pretty stacked. You have Angelina Jolie, Richard Madden, Kumail Nanjiani, which is pretty interesting because he's typically a comedian, right? Selma Hayek, which I haven't seen her in anything in a long time. Brian Tyree Henry, Lisa McCaw, Don Lee, etc. Released November 6, 2020. So it's about a year away.
Right around the corner. All I know about the Eternals is that it is a Kirby creation, and if I remember correctly, it's like a Kirby fourth world, but mm-hmm. Marvel. So
right. And then we got a bunch of stuff announced. Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings. Finally, we're getting Kung Fu on the big screen. It's set to release February 12th, 2021, starring Simu Liu as Shang-Chi. So yeah, and that's awesome because I saw this actor tweeted, I don't know, I think it was back in 2018. He's like, hey Marvel, yeah, all these characters are working. How about some live action, you know, Chinese character? And they're like, all right, we'll give you that. There you go. So good for him.
So there's two things that I really want to mention here. One, I think it's really cool that February 12th, 2021 mm-hmm. is Chinese New Year.
Oh, cool.
And Legend of the Ten Rings. The Mandarin has 10 rings. That's all I'm saying about that.
Well, we finally see the Mandarin redeemed on the big screen.
Well, any big MCU fan might remember when Marvel used to do one-shot movies, which were like these 5 to 10 minute short films.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was about Mandarin from Iron Man 3 and how he was a fake and the real Mandarin is out there somewhere. So,
mm-hmm. Who knows? Yeah, so that's really cool. Then we get this huge announcement. Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness announced. Original cast and director return, set to release May 7th, 2021. So not only are we getting Multiverse Madness, but they've also said that it's going to be one of the first dark or like horror movies of the MCU.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how that works.
Which I think sets a path for what they want to do moving forward, because we'll get to the more announcements, but there seems to be a theme of kind of dark arts and horror moving forward, with a lot of exceptions, but they definitely are carving out that corner of the universe.
Yep, and we heard that the Thor director last week was coming back for the fourth. This would be the fourth one, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so they announced Thor, Love and Thunder. Chris Hemsworth is back as Thor. Tessa Thompson back as Valkyrie. And then they announced Natalie Portman is returning as Jane Foster. And then they also announced Jane Foster will return as Mighty Thor, which is pretty huge news.
So, yeah,
Set to release November 5th, 2021.
Yeah, so I'm excited for this for multiple reasons. One, the logo is the best logo in all of movies right now.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Natalie Portman being back is kind of a big deal, because she hasn't been back in the universe officially in a long time.
Like, right, she was in Endgame.
Yeah, she was in Endgame, but she didn't actually shoot anything for Endgame. So, but yeah, her coming back as Jane, and then Jane kind of, in some way, getting a hammer and becoming a Thor is huge. I mean, that was a really cool story arc that happened in the comics fairly recently. So,
yep,
I'm down, because the last Thor movie was amazing.
I'm excited for this one. Blade was announced finally. It's going to reboot the series, bringing it into the MCU, and Mahershala Ali will play Blade. No release date yet, but dude, what a great actor. And then I remember Wesley Snipes had announced, like, I don't know, earlier that he's in talks with Marvel doing something cool. So I know they're rebooting Blade, right? But what if people are talking about, like, what if you bring Wesley Snipes back in as like the villain, as like one the vampire or something? I was like, that would be cool. Yeah, not part of any continuity. Just having him as the role would be, I think, cool.
Yeah, he's got to be in the movie somewhere, whether it's a cameo or whatever. What's really cool here is that Kevin Feige said that this movie wasn't in the plans, but Ali contacted them and was like, I want to be Blade. And they just like, okay, we'll make a Blade movie.
Yeah, we'll let you do that, sure. He had just won an Oscar from, what was it? I can't think of that.
Yeah, I got no clue.
Yeah, he had just won an Oscar. So it's like, you kind of let that guy do whatever he wants. Black Widow's finally made official. Finally. May 1st, 2020. It's going to take place after Civil War. And the coolest part, and I think everybody's freaking out about it, is David Harbour is going to play Red Guardian, which is the Russian version of Captain America. Dude, so awesome. I love
Red Guardian.
Yeah, that character's cool, and David Harbour is awesome.
I love the dynamic of in storytelling, that is. The real life thing is terrifying. But the storytelling dynamic of the Cold War and, you know, the America versus Russia, and just the idea of Russia creating their own Captain America, and it just being a, you know, nonstop.
Yeah.
Is a character I fell in love with. So I'm down for it. I can't wait to see what he looks like. He better put on a suit. That's all I gotta
say. Oh, yeah. He's gonna look huge. I mean, he's a big dude. Yeah. So.
He needs to be all red with a white star in the middle.
Yep. And then finally, Kevin Feige was like, all right, if that wasn't enough for all of you, they're working on Black Panther 2, Captain Marvel 2, Guardians of the Galaxy 3. And he said there's some early work on Fantastic Four, and mentions there's thoughts about mutants. So he's like, oh, it's all happening.
Yeah. And threw shade at Fox for how they've handled Fantastic Four.
Yeah, he really
stomped on them.
Yeah. Which is great, because I hope he really does them justice. I mean, we talk about that enough, but yeah. Now we finally get to get into the comic book news. The thick of it.
And there's a lot.
There's a lot of comic book news. All right, we'll start with IDW. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. It's a crossover with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. 5-issue series announced.
Excited. Power Rangers, Turtles. What could go wrong?
What could go... I mean, this is going to be awesome. And it's written by Ryan Perrott. Sure.
I'm going to go with Perrott.
Perrott, not Perrott. Yeah, but that's cool. I mean, what do you think? It's not something I would think of, but like, I feel like those two groups can mingle well with each other. And some of the villains that are on Mighty Morphin Power Rangers,
they both hit big in the 90s and had TV shows. Like, it's a great pairing.
Yeah. Snake Eyes Dead Game was announced early 2020. Written and drawn by Rob Liefeld.
Hope there's no feet.
Why? Because you can't draw feet?
Can't draw feet. You never heard the story of Deadpool when he drew Deadpool?
Oh, yeah. He never showed his feet.
Well, no. There's a... was it John? No. I forget who wrote it now, but it's going to come to me later. The writer that was writing Deadpool, they brought back Rob Liefeld. Had him draw it. So what the artist did was he forced Liefeld to draw feet on every panel because he notoriously can't draw feet. And by what he did was he had a car chase where Deadpool was in a van with a giant foot on top of it. Just as a troll.
Oh, wow.
Love Liefeld, but I don't think he knows who Snake Eyes is because he compared him to Spider-Man, Deadpool, and... I think it was Wolverine. Like, either way, like, he picked two of the talkiest people in all of comics. And this is a stealth ninja who doesn't speak.
Yeah, no, if anybody doesn't know who Snake Eyes is, he's the ninja from G.I. Joe that never speaks. Ever.
I love Liefeld, the personality, but yeah, I wonder about his work sometimes.
Rom Dire Wraths announced for October. Written by Chris Ryle, art by Luca Pizzari. It's going to be the first encounter humans have with Dire Wraith during the first moon landing. So Rom, you know, they've been doing Rom stuff. There was a big reboot for Rom, I think, last year at New York Comic Con. So
there was a reboot 3 years ago.
Was it three?
I'm a closet Rom fan.
Okay.
There was a reboot 3 years ago. It lasted about 2 years, and then they did a Rom Transformers crossover, and then they canceled Rom. So now Rom is back, and I'm fucking excited.
Good.
And it has to do with the moon landing, which is very in the news right now.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, we're trying to talk about the moon lately. We don't have time for the news, though. So now we got Image Comics announcing Scott Snyder, Charles Soule, Giuseppe Camuncoli. New creator-owned title has been revealed. Undiscovered Country, set to launch in November. It's going to explore an alternate United States that has been isolated from the world and is opening its borders.
So,
Little little on the nose. Maybe.
if you didn't have me at Scott Snyder, you had
Right.
me at Charles Soule.
Yep.
And if you didn't have me at Charles Soule, you had me at Creator Owned Comic. So,
Right.
yeah, I don't care what it's about.
Oh
I want
yeah.
it.
That's a yeah.
It is kind of on the nose for today, but Snyder not so much. But Charles Soule is a very political guy. He was a
Yeah.
lawyer at one point.
Right.
And I hope that they dive deep into political satire, because I think that those guys can do it well. So I'm down.
I don't think I've seen Scott Snyder do anything like that with his writing, so hopefully let's see how it goes.
It's a lot of Batman punching stuff with Snyder.
Yeah, or at least like very convoluted comic book science stuff from him, right? So I'm interested to see how he does this. But I mean, it's exciting. Yeah, I'm in. Then we got a bunch of DC stuff here. Tales from the Dark Multiverse announced. This is, I mean, this sounds awesome. It's going to be Elseworld titles. Elseworld titles set in the Dark Multiverse. It's going to retell classic stories with a twist. One of October is going to be Batman Nightfall, The Death of Superman from writers Scott Snyder, Kyle Higgins, Jeff Loveless, and they're going to be prestige size one shots. And then they're eventually going to tackle Infinite Crisis, Blackest Nights, Judas Contract. I mean, dude, they could basically retell amazing stories and do a dark version of it. Awesome.
Yeah, and it's for me, I'm more interested in this than I normally am for an Elseworlds book, because we talked about my love for What Ifs. One
Right.
of the things I loved about What If is that What If, with a few exceptions in like the 2000s, was always told in one issue, one and done story. It's there. So
Yep.
I like that they're doing one shot stories, prestige size, and saying, "What if this happened?" It's a great idea. It's so good.
Yeah, that's gonna be awesome. Then they announced the Batman's Grave. It's a 12-issue series announced. Warren Ellis and Brian Hitch coming in October, which is crazy. That is a
Authority
pretty,
creators.
yeah. That's Ellis and Hitch, man. That's interesting.
Yeah, so this, I believe, is going to be Black Label. Going with last week's announcements, Black Label is going to be amazing.
Yeah. Then we got a. This is pretty cool. I haven't seen these guys in a while. Well, we did, but 12-issue series of the Metal Men. This series is going to be written by Dan, is it Didio, and Shane Davis, Michelle Dalecki, releasing in October. That's pretty cool. I mean, it's almost like they started off doing the 12 issues of Dial H, 12 issues of Wonder Twins. Okay, now we get a little bit of time goes by. We're selling some issues. Now we slowly introduce other, confirmed to have an ending series, like we talk about, like 6 or 12 issues, but start exploring other people like the Metal Men. The Metal Men have just been chilling. What do you do?
Yeah, I feel like this was supposed to be a new Age of Heroes book though, because the big thing is it's gonna be an Nth Metal Man.
Oh, I see.
Buyer beware with Dan Didio though. I'm not a fan of his stuff. The only thing I really liked that he did was oh man, OMAC for New 52.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean they're releasing stuff, and then I mean this goes without saying they're doing a Birds of Prey ongoing by Brian Azzarello, art by Emanuela Lupacino. I mean that's probably because of the Birds of Prey movie coming out soon. They need to build up hype for that.
Yeah, and here comes Brian Azzarello from the grave. I
Yeah.
mean, he's done some stuff, but it's been like offshoot stuff. And now him on an ongoing in universe back. Let's see what he's got.
Throwing them on Birds of Prey. Yeah, so Marvel. All right, we got some details in the Marvel Zombies relaunch. Philip Kennedy Johnson is writing it, art by Leonard Kirk. It's going to be Marvel Zombies Respawn. It's going to be a one shot in October, and the series is going to continue in 2020. Pretty cool, I would assume.
I'm down. This is exactly how Robert Kirkman's Marvel Zombies started.
Yep.
There was a one-shot story. They did a five-issue series and then built off of that. So by doing this Respawn, they're copying an A, getting an A. So let's hope it's as good as the old one, if not close to it.
So besides that, we got a lot of X-Men news, and you and I aren't the biggest X-Men fans.
But this is the first time in a long time I'm excited for some X-Men.
Right, I know. So they got some details in the universe. First wave of books coming in October. X-Men is going to be written by Jonathan Hickman, art by Lionel Francis Yu. And it's going to be the main X-book, features most of the mutants we know and love. Jonathan Hickman's back.
Yeah, this is guaranteed picking it up, sticking with it. As long as Dawn of X and Power of X don't suck.
Yeah.
But I just love Hickman. I love Hickman getting his own section of the universe and taking it where he wants to take it, and having like he has a 4-year plan, I think he said, for X-Men. And Lionel Francis Yu is one of the best artists in comics, in my opinion.
Yeah, this is pretty big. And then all the other books branching off, Excalibur, written by Teenie Howard and art by Marcus Toe, it's a team led by Psylocke, and it's going to be the new Captain Britain. Team consists of Rogue, Gambit, Jubilee, Richter, Apocalypse. So some more X-Men people.
Yeah, reminds me of Justice League Odyssey.
Right. Yeah, I think we could see some comparisons happening here. The Marauders will be written by Jerry Dugan with art by Mattia Lawley. This team's Kitty Pryde, along with Pyro, Storm, Bishop, and Iceman. So it's basically like pick your favorite X-Men.
Yeah, not a big fan.
New Mutants. Yeah. New Mutants, written by Jonathan Hickman, Ed Bryson, with art by Rob Reyes. That's pretty big. It's going to include Classic New Mutants, Sunspot, Wolfsbane, Mirage, Karma, Magic, Cypher. And then there's a couple of new people they're adding, Chamber and Mondo. Honestly, I don't know who any of those people
are. Neither do I.
They're the New Mutants.
I saw Jonathan Hickman's writing it, so I'm going to pick it up.
Exactly. And I think that's what they did too. They're like, nobody's gonna know these mutants, but they know Jonathan Hickman. So
there is big following for New Mutants within X-Men lore. So
okay.
There are people who love those characters. There actually is a movie that's been made of those characters, just hasn't been released.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we've heard about it.
Yeah.
Fallen Angels, written by Brian Edward Hill, and art by oh my god, Simon Kudransky. This team gets Psylocke, X-23, Teenage Cable. And then we have X-Force, written by Benjamin Percy, art by Joshua Cassara. Team will consist of Beast, Jean Grey, Sage, Wolverine, Kid Omega, Domino. Big X-Force falling out there. So,
kind of think X-Force looks cool.
Yeah.
Not so hot on Fallen Angels.
And then Marvel teases that a new Annihilation is coming late 2019, early 2020.
So, yeah, anyone that hasn't read Annihilation, it's one of the best Marvel event books ever. It's what gave us the Guardians of the Galaxy that we know and love. It's the book that was going on while Civil War was going on, so it got like very overshadowed. And to bring those characters back and do it again, especially since we all remember Donny Cates is doing the Guardians of the Galaxy book as well as the Silver Surfer book. So is he going to be involved somehow? We'll see.
Right.
I'm really excited for this.
Probably. And then we got some cool Star Wars announcements. Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, Allegiance, a 4-issue miniseries announced. Ethan Sachs is writing it. Luke Ross doing the art. It's going to be a prequel to Episode 9. And then Star Wars Rise of Kylo Ren, 5-issue miniseries announced, written by Charles Soule. So Chris is picking up both these books. This will explore the early days of Kylo Ren and the Knights of Ren. And I'm probably picking this one up because, yes.
Yeah, I mean
Knights of Ren, come on.
It says Star Wars, I'm picking it up. But the Kylo Ren one specifically, this is the book I've wanted since they introduced the Knights of Ren and Force Awakens. And I love Charles Soule.
Yeah, it's so. Like, what have they been waiting for? Yeah, I mean, I'm interested about this, like, this prequel to Episode 9, though. It's like, how much do they really want to give away, you know? It's tough.
They've done it for movies. They have.
Yeah, but it's like, you don't want to set up an expectation going in, I feel like. Do you? I don't know.
Yeah, but it's not like it's going to follow, like, Rey to the moment we see her in the beginning or something. Like, the one that led up to Force Awakens was very ancillary to the story that we saw. Same with Last Jedi. So I expect it to be like a minor character we see halfway through the movie.
Okay. With that, we survived all the SDCC news.
We did indeed.
Now we'll talk about the comics we read this week. We won't keep you here too much longer, I guess. But I read a few comics. Batman number 75, which was a complete 180 of whatever the hell's been going on in Batman. And you even saw the article written about it. So we get like a really long... there's one way to get me out of the whatever Tom King was doing with Batman, and that's to have a really long jump in time from the last issue. And I think we got that in this issue. So completely irrelevant to whatever the hell happened in the last 15 issues. The Gotham City's in chaos, and you have, like, it's really funny. You have Edward Nygma and the Joker working together as police officers. And you have, like, the villains have taken over the city. Obviously, Bane runs the city. You have some rogue villains that aren't really, they don't think that's cool. So, like, the Batman of the city is Thomas Wayne Batman. And his Robin is Gotham Girl, which I think this is great. Because, like, Batman immediately has to face off against, like, Solomon Grundy and another large villain. And it's like, well, what does he do? Well, he calls in Gotham Girl and she uses her laser vision and kills them, like cuts their arm off and stuff. Like that's how you deal with it. So that's pretty cool. You're seeing this weird display of power by Bane within Gotham where he captures Two-Face because you can't control Two-Face. He's a crime boss, Two-Face. So, like, by the end of that story arc, Two-Face is being hypnotized by, we see Psycho Pirate again. So Bane is using Psycho Pirate, I think, to kind of manipulate the villains that are a little more resistant to the change of him being in charge. Very interesting, though, because he has a discussion with Lex Luthor. Obviously, we see where Lex Luthor is in Justice League. We'll talk about Justice League from this week. Lex Luthor is more interested in, you know, keeping the multiverse for himself. He wants to be control of the multiverse. But in this, Bane talks about how he just wants Gotham. He's just like, your dreams are too big. I just want to control Gotham, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, we get Bruce is climbing half dead on a snowy mountain. And obviously this comes from the last issue where he was trapped in a Lazarus pit in the middle of the desert somewhere. He's trying to find Catwoman and he finds her and she finds him laying there dying and they've met up. So I'm sure he's going to come back and save the day. And, because Thomas Wayne is chilling in Wayne Manor right now and Alfred is like forced to serve him, but he's like, Bruce is going to come back and kick your ass. So just wait. And that's pretty much where we're at. Bane's taking control of the city. There's a weird dynamic between villains and Bruce is probably going to need his back straightened out again for the fourth time. He really needs like an on-site chiropractor, dude. He's like, he's been broken a few times now.
Well, he's going to send Alfred to go get his degree.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Okay, so there's that. You read Justice League this week, right?
I did.
Justice League 28?
Yep.
Yeah. Pretty cool issue, I guess. We get the conversation with Martian Manhunter and Lex Luthor. Lex Luthor obviously has gone batshit crazy, and Martian Manhunter has realized that. But Lex Luthor's like, I don't really care. I just need to absorb you, dude, because you're the apex predator. So we get the death of Martian Manhunter, I guess, for now. we'll find out. But he kind of like absorbs him, which was really gross to watch or to read.
Yeah, him like he just, half absorbed, like
yeah,
his hand up like this, like just
yeah, it was really gross.
It was yeah, messed up.
And then Hawkgirl gets locked up too. So Lex is the apex predator now, I guess, or something. Meanwhile, the rest of the Justice League is trapped. Well, they've been caught in a trap. They go to Kord to find the anti-monitor, and lo and behold, the anti-monitor is not there. And he says, "Don't follow him." And then the rest of the the Legion of Doom is there, and they're like, "Surprise!" And there's a little tussle that goes on, and the World Forger gets them out of there.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So there's,
but. You gonna talk about the Starman stuff?
No, I was just gonna say there's a really great article on Bleeding Cool that Mike kind of mentioned real quickly in the beginning. Mm-hmm. That I sent to him. If you get a chance, check it out. It's all about how what Tom King's doing with Batman and what's going on in Justice League seems to be hinting at a crisis coming.
Mm-hmm.
To the DC universe, and not a Heroes in Crisis, a proper crisis.
Proper crisis.
And it seems like this is really leading to it. So we're getting, obviously, we're going to keep going after the Anti-Monitor. Lex is doing his thing and trying to kind of break down the multiverse and conquer it for himself. And just everything going on here is very crisis-y. So very good issue. A lot of talky, but very good issue.
Yeah, a lot of talky. And then I read the Silver Surfer Black issue 2. Basically, Silver Surfer fighting with the that dude. I can never remember his name.
Null,
the symbiote god. And he gets, well, he, it's pretty cool. You get to see him like chosen as like a symbiote, I don't know, servant or something. So you see like the evil version of him, then he breaks free, someone helps him escape, and he like gets chased down by Null on a giant dragon, and then he gets away, and we find out it's Mogo?
Ego. Is it?
Ego, sorry. Ego, the living planet that helps him, and he's like, let's kill a god, and that was pretty cool. The art for that scene was really cool too.
Yeah, really like this issue.
Yeah. I think that's all I had. So.
Okay. Won't keep you guys around too long. Port of Earth number 12 is the last issue in volume 3. And where it leaves us off is really cool. We get kind of conversation between the consortium and the news anchor that's talking to the leader. And it leads to a place where you realize that in order to be a part of the consortium, you have to be enslaved by them. Love this book. Can't wait for the series on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Aquaman number 50. This is bringing Aquaman back from where he's been. So he's back in Amnesty Bay. He's talked with Mara. Mara's told him that she is pregnant with his kid. And we get the return of Black Manta, and kind of it ties into what's going on with Year of the Villain. So Lex shows up on the last page to talk to Black Manta to let him know what he has to do to continue the plans.
Nice.
Invaders number 7 is the aftermath of everything that happened last issue. So Atlantis attacked and turned a bunch of people into Atlanteans and keeps doing it. So they attacked America, they attacked Russia, they attacked a few other places. Everyone's freaking out. They don't know what to do. And there's a really cool story going on behind everything where they're talking, where Namor's talking about the fact that I'm doing the human race a favor because of global warming and how everything's going to be underwater anyways. So you might as well just deal with it.
Embrace the change.
Yeah, so it's a really cool book. I really enjoy it. Daredevil number 8 was really cool. It was Matt Murdock has been kind of crushing on this girl who runs a bookstore, and he finds out that it's the daughter of a crime boss in Hell's Kitchen. And it's a really cool scene of them at dinner talking to each other and being very blunt with each other. Possibly my favorite issue of the week. Just that conversation they have, the back and forth, was really cool. Dr. Aphra 34. It's a good book. I enjoy Dr. Aphra, but it's nothing all that special. Mike's favorite Star Wars book, Star Wars TIE Fighter number 4.
Did the TIE Fighter make it off the shelf in this issue? Did someone buy it off the shelf at Toys R Us?
So, I actually really like where the story's going. So, we find out that the pilot who sacrificed herself in the last issue was defecting from the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And in sacrificing herself, she actually gave away a clue to a base where defectors go to join the rebellion. And now this squadron has to go and attack that base.
Oh.
And then a book I don't really talk about a lot, but James Bond, 007, number 9, number 009.
009.
Really good. The villain right now is Goldfinger.
Nice.
And I love how that book's treating everything and reinventing the characters and creating its own continuity using the characters we know and love. And then I read volume 6 of Tom King's Batman, which is the prelude to The Wedding, and then volume 7 is The Wedding. It was good. The Wonder Woman story where they're stuck in an alternate dimension and almost fall in love was okay. The kid who kills his parents because he wants to be Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
I could have done without that story.
Yeah, that was probably the worst part of it.
And I'm trying to remember what the last story was, but all in all, it was okay. I see this series. I see where you're coming from.
Right.
You know, volume 1, 2, 3 were really good, and it's kind of gone down and down and down since.
And then he's like, let me break Batman down to a mental level, and you're like, no.
So I'll stick with it for the sake of knowing your pain, Mike.
I want to see the pain in your eyes when you talk about it like I do.
But we'll see. I'm going to start The Wedding volume this week, so maybe I'll talk about it next week.
Okay.
But Mike, that is everything.
We did it.
San Diego Comic-Con down. We did it.
Yep.
So where can people find you on
the internet? They can find me at Fortress Ricker on Twitter. Where can they find you and or the show, Chris?
Well, they can find me at Fortress Chris on Twitter or the show at FCN_official. And you all know FortressComicNews.com, where everything we do is right there on that website. YouTube, like, share, subscribe, all that shit. You're on podcast service, 5-6-star reviews. 6 stars, hack the system, do it. And that is all, because it was a jam-packed episode. We love you, and we'll see you next week.